He says, "Rejoice not, O Israel, for joy, as other people. For thou hast gone a whoring from thy God. Thou hast loved a reward upon every corn floor. The floor and the winepress shall not feed them, and the new wine shall fail in her. They shall not dwell in the Lord's land, but Ephraim shall return to Egypt, and they shall eat unclean things in Assyria." Isn't it very ironic in verse 3? Where are they going to return to? Egypt. The very place God brought them out of, the place of bondage that God delivered them from, they're going back there. "They shall not offer wine offerings to the Lord, neither shall they be pleasing unto Him. Their sacrifices shall be unto them as the bread of mourners. All that eat thereof shall be polluted, for their bread, for their soul, shall not come into the house of the Lord. What will ye do in the solemn day and in the day of the feast of the Lord?" He says, when you go into captivity or when you flee to Egypt and when Assyria takes you captive, and you remember in your mind, hey, today is a feast day. What are you going to do? You're not going to be able to feast because you're not in your homeland anymore. You're not going to be able to go to Jerusalem. You're not going to be able to go to the tabernacle because you're not there anymore. "For lo, they are gone because of destruction. Egypt shall gather them up. Memphis shall bury them." Memphis used to be the capital city of Egypt. The ancient capital city of Egypt. He said, "The pleasant places for their silver. Nettles shall possess them. Thorns shall be in their tabernacles." What happens when a city is destroyed and left to itself? The weeds grow up. That's what he's talking about in verse number 6. He says, "The beautiful houses that you have that you buy with silver, the pleasant places for their silver," he says, "nettles, thorns, and weeds shall possess them. Thorns shall be in their tabernacles. The days of visitation are come." Speaking of the judgment of God, it's come. "The days of recompense are come. Israel shall know it. The prophet is a fool. The spiritual man is mad." And by the way, God's not saying, and Hosea's not saying, that the prophet is a fool, that the prophet is mad. He's saying that's what the people say. The people say that the prophet is a fool, the prophet is mad, the prophet is crazy because of what he says. "For the multitude of thine iniquity and the great hatred. The watchman of Ephraim was with my God, but the prophet..." Now here in verse 8, he turns and he speaks of those false prophets. He says, "But the prophet is a snare of a fowler in all his ways, and hatred in the house of his God. They have..." Notice this. They have what? What's the next word? "Deeply." God puts words in the Bible for a reason. You believe that? I don't believe there's any word in the Bible that's there by mistake. You might not believe that, but I do. I believe every word is there for a reason. And the Bible says they have deeply corrupted themselves. "As in the days of Gibeah..." By the way, that's a reference back to Judges chapter number 19 when regarding the Levite and his concubine and the wickedness that was done in Gibeah. By the way, go back and read Judges 19 tonight before you... Well, actually, I don't know if you should do that before you go to bed, but sometime this week, read Judges 19. That'll give you some reflection about their deep corruption. I found verse 10. Verse 9, he says, "He will remember their iniquity. He will visit their sins. I found Israel..." He reminisces about when he chose Israel to be his nation. He said, "I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree at her first time. But they went to Baal Peor and separated themselves unto that shame, and their abominations were according as they loved. As for Ephraim, their glory shall fly away like a bird, from the birth and from the womb and from the conception. Though they bring up their children, yet will I bereave them, that there shall not be a man left. Yea, woe also to them when I depart from them." Can you imagine tonight? And I don't think we can. I don't think we can imagine this in our finite minds, because we as a people have not known this, but can you imagine when God leaves you and His protection is gone? That's what He's saying in verse number 12. He says, "Woe also to them when I depart from them. When I take my hand of protection off of them, woe unto them. Ephraim, as I saw Tyrus, is planted in a pleasant place." Again, Tyrus, a reference to Tyre there in Lebanon, a beautiful city. And he's comparing Ephraim to that. And he said, "Ephraim is planted in a pleasant place, but Ephraim shall bring forth his children to the murderer. Give them, O Lord, what wilt thou give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breasts." Two thoughts here. Either Hosea is saying, "Give it to them, God. That's what they deserve." Or really, I believe Hosea is saying, "God, just don't let them have any kids. They don't need to have any kids. Kids don't need to grow up in this." Verse 15, "All their wickedness is in Gilgal." Not the same Gilgal you find in Joshua. Different Gilgal in the northern kingdom. He said, "For there I hated them. For the wickedness of their doings I will drive them out of mine house. I will love them no more. All their princes are revolters. Ephraim is smitten, their root is dried up, they shall bear no fruit. Yea, though they bring forth, yet will I slay even the beloved fruit of their womb. My God will cast them away, because they did not hearken unto Him." And notice the last part of verse 17. "And they shall be wanderers among the nations." And by the way, for almost 2,700 years until 1948, at the rebirth of the nation of Israel, Israel wandered as a people. From the time of the Assyrian captivity until 1948, when Israel was rebirthed as a nation, they wandered. By the way, many of them still wander. Not all of them are back in the nation of Israel. Many of them still wander. But He said, "They shall be wanderers among the nations." I want to bring you a message tonight entitled, and you have it there on your outline, "Lessons Not Learned." Lessons not learned. Father, help us tonight. Teach us. Father, I pray that You'd be with those that could not be with us tonight. I pray that You'd give them a blessing. I know that some are watching by live stream tonight. And Lord, I pray that You'd bless them wherever they're at, whether they're at home or maybe just in front of their computer. Father, I pray that You would teach them and help them just like You're going to do us here in this auditorium tonight. Father, be with those that are sick, those that are traveling. Father, we just ask for Your help tonight. Most of all, we just ask that You would teach us. You would stir our hearts tonight. You would stir our spirits tonight. And Father, help us to ask You to search our hearts tonight. Father, we don't want to be a people that stray from You, that are filled with adultery and idolatry. Father, we don't want to go after other gods. We only want to go after You. And Father, I pray that You'd help us. As the song says, many times we are prone to wander. But Father, I pray that You'd help us tonight not to do that. Father, I pray tonight that You'd help us to learn our lessons when they happen. Father, help us not to just hear, but Father, help us to learn. Help us not just to experience something, but help us to learn from it. And Father, I pray that You'd teach us that tonight. And Father, we pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen. In chapters 1 through 3 of Hosea, the Lord uses the home life of Hosea to demonstrate, to illustrate His unbelievable love for the nation of Israel. By the way, a nation that consistently and constantly committed spiritual adultery against their God. In Hosea chapter number 4, and I'd like for you to turn back there, if you would, just by way of introduction tonight. In Hosea chapter 4, the story moves from Hosea's home life to his homeland and her impending judgment because of her whoredoms with the gods of the heathen nation. By the way, little g gods of the heathen nations. God had been tender and God had been long-suffering and God had been merciful to Israel, but to no avail. Israel is the nation that God chose through whom He desired to reveal Himself to the world. That's what God wanted to do with Israel. He wanted to reveal Himself to the world through His people, through His nation, Israel. In Hosea chapter 4, the Lord states that He has a controversy with Israel. Why did He have this controversy? Look at verse number 1, if you would, with me tonight. Hosea chapter 4, verse 1. The Bible says, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land." By the way, when we spoke about this in chapter 4, we said that word controversy, it has the idea of being in a courtroom. It has the idea of having charges brought against them. And by the way, we said that Almighty God, Jehovah God, He is the judge, He is the jury, He is the sentencer, He is the lawyer, whatever you want to put in there, He's all of that. And He said, "I have a controversy with the inhabitants of the land." Notice this. Why did He have the controversy? Because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive, nor reprove another. For thy people are as they that strive with the priest." He said, don't try to reprove somebody else. You won't even listen to the priest. "Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night. And I will destroy thy mother." And then notice verse number 6. "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no more priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." However, in spite of their sin, in spite of the controversy, notice in chapter 5, if you would, God is still long-suffering. God is still merciful. God is still asking them to come. Notice chapter 5 in verse number 15. He says, "I will go." And this is the Lord speaking. He said, "I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early." He said, look, I will go to my place until they come back to me. He still wanted them to come back. He was still being merciful, still being long-suffering. Look at chapter 6, verse number 1. Look at what Hosea says in chapter 5, verse 15. When God says, "I will return till they acknowledge their offense," what does Hosea say? Hosea says in verse number 1 of chapter 6, "Come! Hey, He's waiting for us. Come and let us return unto the Lord. For He hath torn and He will heal us. He hath smitten and He will bind us up. Come." But even after all of that, they would not come and return unto the Lord. As a matter of fact, if you look at chapter 8, verses 12 and 14, show us how far Israel's sin had taken her. Hosea chapter 8 and verse number 12, he says, "I have written to him the great things of my law," but notice this, "but they were counted as a strange thing." The Word of God had become a stranger to the nation of Israel. The Word of God had become something unknown, uncommon to the nation of Israel. In verse number 14, "for Israel hath forgotten his Maker." That's how far sin had taken the nation of Israel. And as we move into chapter number 9 tonight, as we've already said, the pronouncements against Israel continue, and they even seem to intensify. But why have they arrived at such a place? Why have they arrived on the threshold of judgment? They are here because they had never learned their lesson. I say that because of what the Bible says in Hosea chapter 9, verse number 17. He says, "And they shall be wanderers among the nations." Wasn't Israel all too familiar with wandering? For 435 years they were in or under Egyptian bondage. For 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. She wandered in a cycle of captivity in the book of Judges. She would sin. God would allow them to go into captivity and bondage. She would cry out and ask for God to help, and God would send a judge. But she's in a cycle of captivity. And as we said earlier, until the rebirth of the nation of Israel in 1948, she had wandered for almost 2,700 years. And how often, we have to apply this tonight, how often do we, as Christians, wander and flounder in our Christian lives because of lessons not learned. You see, God had given Israel plenty of opportunities. They had experienced chastisement many times, hadn't they? Ever had a child where you chastened, and you ask yourself, are they ever going to get it? And you wonder, are they ever going to get it? Well, God had chastened, and Israel never got it. We could say, well, it was because families, it was because parents didn't pass along the Word of God to their children. That was partly so. But they never learned their lesson. And tonight, I want to give you real quickly tonight. It's a quarter till, so we'll go quickly. I want to give you five things. I don't like to use that word things, but five things that Israel never learned. And I pray tonight we'll apply it to our lives and we'll ask ourselves, have we learned this lesson in our own lives as Christians tonight? Because Israel never learned these lessons. They're standing upon the threshold of judgment. Why? Because they never learned the lesson. Hey, listen tonight, kids, teenagers, juniors tonight, children in here tonight, if mom and daddy are constantly trying to help you and constantly trying to teach you a lesson, listen, it would be in your best interest if for once and for all you would learn the lesson. If for once, somebody say that for me, once and for all, you would just say, you know what, I think mom and dad might be right. Wouldn't that have been good for the nation of Israel? If they would have said, you know what, I think maybe Jehovah, he might just be right. Lessons not learned. Number one tonight, they never learned, first of all, the lengths of the Lord's love. I don't believe the nation of Israel ever really totally understood how much Jehovah God loved them. Jehovah God gave and gave and gave. We could go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. We went there a few Wednesday nights ago. And we saw what God told them about being diligent in teaching their children. And He said, look, when you come into the promised land, He said, be careful. We talked about beware of the blessings. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 12, God said, look, when you come into the promised land and I give you houses and vineyards and farms and crops that you didn't even plant, that you didn't even build, He said, be careful, beware. Beware what? What does He say there? Beware what? Beware lest you do what? Somebody tell me. Beware lest you forget me. We've mentioned this several times recently. God help us not to let the blessings outweigh the blesser. God help us that we not focus all of our attention on the blessings and we forget the one who gave us all the blessings. The blessor. All the gifts that we've been given and then we forget about the giver. Number one, they never learned the lengths of the Lord's love. And by the way, I gave you some references there. Hosea chapter number 2. Let's go back there real quickly tonight. Hosea chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 5. Gomer, Hosea's wife, is a picture of the nation of Israel. Hosea is a picture of God. Gomer is a picture of the nation of Israel. In verse number 5, the Bible says, For their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them, speaking of the three children that we find in chapter 1, it says, she that conceived them hath done shamefully, for she said, notice this, I will go after my lovers. Who were her lovers? It was the other nations. By the way, it was the gods of the other nations. Who was her greatest lover? Who loved her the most? Jehovah! Jehovah gave her everything she had. These other gods had given her nothing. And the Bible uses Gomer to show us, look, even after everything Hosea had done for Gomer, after everything God had done for Israel, she goes after other lovers. She goes after other gods. Notice what she says, that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. They didn't give her anything. Gomer's lovers didn't give her anything. By the way, when all was said and done, they left her. Verse number 6, therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her paths, and she shall follow after her what? Lovers. But she shall not overtake them. she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband. For then was it better with me than now. For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. In verse 8, God is saying, and through Hosea, He said, look, she didn't understand that it was me that gave her all of that. And she took every bit of that and she prepared it to sacrifice to who? To Baal. They never learned how much Jehovah God truly loved them. Dear friend, tonight I pray with all of our hearts tonight, with all of my heart, that we will not fall into a rut when it comes to understanding the love that Almighty God has for us. The love that the Lord Jesus Christ has for us, that we'll not take it for granted. 2 Corinthians 5:14, the Bible says, the love of Christ constraineth us. It is the love of Christ and what He did for us that constrains us to live for Him, that constrains us to do that which is right. But how often do we fall in a rut and we think that we get our blessings from some other God or we get our pleasure from some other God instead of the Lord Jesus Christ? Verse 10, and now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of mine hand. And I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, and her Sabbaths, and her and all her solemn feasts. And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, whereof she hath said, these are my rewards that my lovers have given me. And I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. And I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them. And she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers and forgat me, saith the Lord. You don't have to turn there, but let me read it real quickly. In Deuteronomy chapter number 7, verses 7 and 8, the Bible says, the Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you. And because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. They never learned the lengths of the Lord's love. His love gives. His love is faithful. His love is long-suffering. His love is merciful. His love saves. But listen, His love never condones. His love never condones sin. They never learned the lengths of the Lord's love. Number two tonight. They never learned the privilege of their peculiar position. They never learned the privilege of their peculiar position. I mentioned it earlier. God chose them to be a light to the rest of the world. He wanted to reveal Himself through the nation of Israel. Again, let me read in Deuteronomy chapter number 7. Beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire. And notice verse 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. 1 Peter chapter number 2. Again, let me read it real quickly if I could. 1 Peter chapter number 2, speaking about us as a peculiar people. Just as He spoke in Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 6 about how Israel was special unto Him. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9, the Bible says, but ye are a chosen generation, speaking of believers now, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should, look at this, that ye should show forth. Hey, what is the purpose of our peculiar position, our peculiar purpose? What is the purpose of that? It's to show forth His praises. Well, it's just so that I'll miss hell and just so that I won't have to die and go to hell and I can die and go to heaven. Look, that's good and that's a good byproduct, but our purpose is to show forth His praises to this world. That's our purpose. And Israel never learned the privilege of their peculiar position. He says that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now a people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dear friend, tonight I do pray that we'll learn the lesson of the privilege of our peculiar position. We are to show forth the praises of Him that called us out of darkness into His glorious light. We are to be salt and we are to be light in this world, are we not? We're a peculiar people. We're different. That doesn't mean we have to be odd, but we're different because we're the children of the Most High God. We've been saved by the blood of Christ. They never learned the privilege of their peculiar position. Number three, quickly. They never learned the serenity of simple submission. They never learned the serenity of simple submission. Jeremiah chapter 6, you know this verse. We've read it many, many times. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse number 16, the Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein and you shall find rest, peace, serenity. You shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." They never learned the serenity of simple submission. I have Jeremiah 18 verses 1 through 17. We're not going to take time to read all that tonight, but it says very much what Jeremiah 6:16 says. God very simply just wanted them to come back to His way, to the old path. What's the old path? Obedience. Obedience to His Word. He wanted them to come back. He wanted them to walk in His way, in His path, in His will, in His Word. And He said, that's where you find rest for your soul. But they said, we will not walk therein. They never learned the serenity of simple submission. You know why I believe many people today cannot just be by themselves in quietness? It's because they don't know the serenity of simple submission. And I'm talking about Christians tonight. I'm not talking about unbelievers. Why do we always have to have noise around us? We shouldn't. We shouldn't always have to have noise around us. There ought to be times when we're just quiet and we're okay with that. The serenity of simple submission. God said, if you'll come and if you'll walk in My way and in My path, you'll find rest. Israel never learned that. Judah did a little bit. Judah did on occasion. But Israel, as a nation, I'm talking about Ephraim, I'm talking about the northern kingdom. They never learned that. They never learned, first of all, the lengths of the Lord's love. They never learned the privilege of their peculiar position. They never learned the serenity of simple submission. Number four, they never learned the effects of their endless evil. I'm not going to go back for sake of time tonight, but go back and read Hosea chapter 9 again. They never learned the effects. It never sank in that there is always consequence for sin. It just never sank in. They never learned the effects of their endless evil. By the way, I have it on your notes there. The children are always affected. Did you notice verse 13? Ephraim, as I saw Tyrus, is planted in a pleasant place, but Ephraim shall bring forth his children to the murderer. You know, Israel can have children, Ephraim can have children, but one day Assyria is going to come. They're going to ravage Israel, they're going to ravage the northern kingdom, and their children are going to be murdered. Adults, children always are affected by our decisions, whether good or bad. Parents tonight, your children are always affected by your decisions, whether those are good decisions or bad decisions. Well, if I get into sin, that's just my problem. I'll only affect myself. Wrong. You'll take your children with you. You see, the nation of Israel, Ephraim, if you will, the northern kingdom, they sinned. These children were going to be born. By the way, verse 14, give them, O Lord, what wilt thou give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breast. Probably a reference to famine that was going to come. Mothers weren't going to be able to feed their children. Because of little food, mothers were going to miscarry the babies in the womb. Children are always affected. They never learned the effects of their endless evil. Who's affected today by the nonsense that's taught in our nation? Our children. Who's affected by the nonsense that comes out of Hollywood and is played on our cartoons and infiltrates and indoctrinates our children? Our little ones are affected. They never learn the effects of their endless evil. One of the things, and probably most parents and most adults in here tonight could say this, one of the things that keeps me going, it helps me to never throw in the towel, is because I have three children that I don't want to do the same. I don't want them to see Dad do it so they can say, well, I can do the same thing. Because my decisions affect my children, good or bad. It can be good decisions. Number five tonight. They never learn the lengths of the Lord's love, the privilege of their peculiar position, the serenity of simple submission, the effects of their endless evil. Go back and read all of Hosea 9 tonight. They never learn, number five, the waste of their wilderness wanderings. How much opportunity did Israel waste? We know they wasted 40 years. And by the way, I say waste. I don't believe that 40 years in the wilderness before they went over in the promised land, I don't believe that was spent 40 years of drudgery. I believe there was probably some rejoicing and praising God during that time. I believe they understood what they did wrong. They knew that they were going to die in the wilderness. But I don't believe that they just wandered around moping for 40 years. I don't believe that. But that 40 years was 40 years that they could have already been in the promised land. Because when they came to Kadesh Barnea in Numbers chapter 11, 12, 13, and 14, when Moses sent out the spies and they came back, when they came to Kadesh Barnea, they could have gone in right then. There was nothing holding them back. Moses could have taken them in. They could have gone into the promised land. That's what God wanted them to do. But because of their unbelief, and because of their lack of faith, they wandered for 40 years. Think about the ways for 2,700 years that people, that Jews, Israelites, have wandered amongst the nations. Still God's people. By the way, and we'll see this before we're done with Hosea, God's not finished with them. God doesn't go back on His promise. He made a covenant with them. He will keep it. God's not finished with the nation of Israel. But He said, because of your sin, because of your iniquity, you're going to wander among the nations. Let me ask us tonight, how much time do we waste wandering in the wilderness as Christians instead of crossing the Jordan River and living the abundant Christian life? I'll say it again. We've said it many, many times, and maybe I'm repetitious and maybe you get tired of hearing it. But Canaan is a picture of the victorious Christian life. It's not a picture of heaven. It's a picture of the victorious Christian life. When I get to heaven, I'm not going to have to battle seven warring nations. It's a picture of the victorious Christian life. But how many of us look across the Jordan River, or we listen to the spies that say, hey, there's giants in the lands, the cities are fortified, and we listen to the giants, we listen to the devil, and he says, you're never going to do that. You're never going to be the Christian that you think you want to be or could be. Because look what's over there. And we just stay, we wander in the wilderness. And we never go in and possess the good land that God has for us. Is that true in any of our lives? I don't know. I don't know your heart tonight. I know mine. I don't know yours. But how much time do we waste just wandering? Because of a lack of faith? Because of a lack of unbelief? Because of sin that keeps us from living the victorious Christian life and having the victories that God wants us to have? Lessons not learned. Israel didn't learn some lessons. And God help us tonight. May we apply. We could give more than just five, but God help us to apply those to our lives. Do I understand tonight how much God really loves me? Do I understand that tonight? Do I understand the peculiar position that I have? Do I understand that my sin, my evil affects others besides me? God help us tonight. Father, we sure do love you tonight. We're thankful for your goodness. We're thankful for your love. Father, would you help us tonight to learn the lessons? Father, would you help us tonight to understand the serenity, the peace, the rest of just simple submission? Father, there may be some individuals tonight who need to put away some false gods tonight, some false lovers, some gods that they have placed in their lives, and they have begun to believe that that is what has given them all of their possessions, all of their pleasure, everything that they have. Father, help us. Help us to learn some lessons tonight. Father, we love you. We're thankful for salvation tonight. Father, I pray that your love would constrain us to live the way that we should. And we pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask is Brother Chris in here or Miss Pam? Miss Pam, would you come to the piano tonight? We're just going to have a quick time of invitation tonight. I'll give Miss Pam a moment to get to the piano. We're just going to have a quick time of invitation. We normally don't do this on Wednesday night. But look, if you're here tonight and the Lord has worked in your heart about maybe one of these specific five areas that we talked about, and in your heart you would know that you would need to do business with the Lord tonight and get some things right and learn a lesson tonight and not be like the nation of Israel that never learned lessons, and they came to the point, they were on the threshold of judgment, and they still did not have a heart to learn. They just still rejected, still walked in their own ways. If God has spoken to you tonight, I'm going to ask us if you're physically able to stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. And I'm going to ask Miss Pam to play whatever she's picked out just to play. And if you need to come tonight, whether it's to this platform, to the front pew, or just right where you're at in your pew, maybe there's some things you need to get right with the Lord tonight. Maybe you're doing well and you've learned the lessons. Maybe tonight you just say, Lord, just give me the strength and the courage, the faith, just to continue. Father, help me never to get into a rut about how much you love me. Father, help me not to go after other lovers, other gods, other enticements, other things that would allure me away from you. God, help me to learn the serenity of simple submission. Father, help me to understand I have a peculiar position. I am to spread forth, to share forth your praises. I am to be salt and light. Tonight, that's the song she's playing. You're all on the altar of sacrifice laid. Your heart does the Spirit control. You'll only be blessed. Have peace and sweet rest. Thank you. Hey, thank you so much for your attention tonight. We're going to pray and be dismissed.